This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Signed as an undrafted player. There's a swing and there's a high drive by Langford to deep left. Dunn is back at the wall. He's looking up, and that ball is history. In the first row above the 12-foot-high wall, in straightaway left field. And the Rangers take a 1-0 lead on a towering home run by Wyatt Langford.
And that is all the run support that Nate Eovaldi would need. Good morning, Metroplex. Hump Day edition of Sean and RJ here on your home for Rangers baseball. Wyatt Langford with the solo home run. 304 on the season to start. Two home runs, two runs batted in, an 899 OPS, and Nate Eovaldi handled the rest with a 99-pitch complete game shutout, the first one in the bigs this year. 1-0, the Rangers get their revenge after getting embarrassed.
That's what you get out of an ace. You get an ace-like performance, especially after a game where baseball's funny this way. You could score 14 runs one night and score seven in like the first two innings. And then the next day, you get three hits, and you barely get a runner past second base.
And Eovaldi ends it against the torpedo bat of Ellie De La Cruz. And Bobby, I was actually looking through Underdog of a way to bet on what you sent over with the torpedo bats.
Yeah, this is you've got DraftKings now. That is the torpedo bat has become such a big thing. You can now sort your home run bets, your daily home run bets, based on people. Like, it's a separate section based on people who have the torpedo bat.
I think Trevino was on there for this game.
He was.
So they had Trevino, they had Ellie up there. I believe they had Rutschman as well. But you've also got Francisco Lindor, Ryan Jeffers. So they will actually sort it now to where you go, okay, let me go to the torpedo bat section and bet on them. And the odds were, you know, Trevino was plus 1,200. Ellie was plus 425, Lindor plus 500. I don't know how those stack up typically against their normal odds of hitting a home run, but I wonder if they are just bumping them up a little bit until they see how this changes.
I think you have to.
Yankees suffered their first loss, although they did score five runs, losing 7-5 to the D-backs.
And I think they had a torpedo bat home run in this game, too. I think Volpe had
Volpe had one.
Yeah.
And Rice.
I mean, it's the way it's going to happen. And their 17 home runs is the major league record through five games or four games. So like it's wild the amount of home runs that they're hitting. And a lot of these are due to the new bats. And, you know, there's a lot of pushback. Like, old school major leaguers are like, you know, this is, you know, you're not barreling the ball up. You're hitting the ball at the trademark. And yeah, you're right, but like, the bat is an 1880s technology.
Yeah,
like, technology's changed. Then we have the steering wheel in the middle of the car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the driver in a golf club used to be made of wood with a flat face. Now it's made of metal with a curved face.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
it happens.
There's lots of things that are like the whole 60 feet 6 inches. Like, isn't that whole thing that was a mistake? Like a written mistake on the plans to like build the field. So they accidentally, 60 feet, 6 inches. It was supposed to be just 60, I think.
Yeah, and they lowered the mound. The mound used to be like 2 or 3 inches higher back in the 60s. They lowered the mound. I mean, everything's geared towards offense. It's like it happens. It's just an advancement of technology. They weight bats differently. Some players customize their bats so the majority of the weight is at the top of the bat, and then others want it more, you know, lighter at the top and then heavier at the handle. Like, it's just a change of the bat.
11 o'clock coverage this morning of the Rangers and the Reds in Cincinnati. Jared Sandler with the pregame, so you get an hour of the KNC masterpiece, Jack Leiter, back out there on the mound. Now, if I was to wager again with my new degenerate problem, what type of feel would you guys, like, I've had good feel so far. I knew Leiter was going to be nails. Excuse me. I knew Evaldi was going to be nails yesterday. I was betting correctly on Rocker struggling after Bobby's spring training report. Do either of you have any type of feel on Jack today? Because I'm scared to do anything with him.
He went on G-Bag yesterday. So G-Bag has been known to curse some people. So I would be a little, they were gassing him up. They were hitting him with questions that distract him from baseball.
Did Dawson tell him he watched him?
He did not, no. But you did get, he got hit with some, like, just jokey questions, and he maybe got a little too loose and isn't, he might be hyperventilating today. So
a little sloppy?
Yeah, I think so.
Generally, I would never bet on a pitcher in this ballpark.
Oh, why?
The Great American Launching Pad. It's a home run fest. Like, I would not generally, now early in the year may be different because it's, no, the ball doesn't travel as well, but it's pretty well known as not a pitcher-friendly park.
It's supposed to be rain in Cincinnati today.
Ooh, okay.
So that may affect things. They've got it's 25% chance of rain, but very humid 70s today.
So you gotta look at what Jack's numbers are and his overs and his unders or hires and his lowers.
Thank you.
Let's see here.
Didn't know to do that.
Let's see here.
Speaking of power, where are the Rangers in the very, very, very early baseball power rankings?
Yep, we got six different outlets that went ahead and ranked them. You've got USA Today, CBS, Bleacher Report, NBC, Yahoo, and The Athletic. The folks that generally the consensus is they average out to about sixth right now in Major League Baseball. Hmm. The ones that are highest on them right now, CBS Sports and The Athletic, both have the Rangers third in their early power rankings. In fact, The Athletic notes that the most encouraging sign for the Rangers is Wyatt Langford looking like he took a step forward towards that leap that everybody wants him to make.
I got him 40-1.
Yeah, and so you've also got
for MVP.
Yep.
USA Today put them right where they averaged. They had them sixth, trailing the Orioles and the Yankees in the AL. NBC Sports wasn't super impressed with them. They put them behind the Red Sox and the Yankees in the AL, put them eighth. Yahoo had them seventh. The lowest ranking came from Bleacher Report. They had them ninth, and they had them fifth in the American League behind Houston, Cleveland, Baltimore, and New York. But that ninth place finish, that was actually a jump. That was a jump for Bleacher Report because they had them 16th entering opening day.
Look, I mean, they really, if everybody was so high on the Red Sox, they still are high on the Red Sox, then taking 3 of 4 from them has to be accounted for.
Yeah.
And it has to reflect in the power rankings. Like, we have no data points really to go on this year. The Braves started like 0-5. We have no data points to go on.
They're 0-6 now.
0-6. They lost last night.
Yeah.
They're 0-6.
Yeah. Like, you've got to move them down, right? You can't have them number one still. They're 0-6.
Yeah, and now here's the thing with the Red Sox, too. It's like Sandler had mentioned to us.
Wow.
The Red Sox very easily could have walked out of that series saying, we could have swept them. The margins were really close.
Margins were small.
And runners in scoring position.
Yeah, if you already had Boston above Texas to start the year, I could see you saying, like, all right, impressive by Texas, I'll move them up, but I'm not moving them past Boston because Boston is still the team that I think.
It's such a small sample.
Nick Harris is going to join us to recap what Jerry Jones said and did yesterday, Micah Parsons, other pickups, and the latest on draft prospects. Nick Harris from the owners' meetings in Florida at 7:20 and the commercial-free expressway. Let's go around and inside the National Football League for what really happened with the tabling of the Tush Push.
Yeah, so Albert Breer had a good breakdown of everything that occurred with the Tush Push, and I think there's an expiration date on the Tush Push. I didn't think it was ever going to get reversed. It felt like there were way too many people that were talking about it in terms of like, well, you know, just stop it, or they've had a lot of success doing it. They deserve credit for developing it. The more you hear about how people are talking about this, the more it feels like, okay, this is problematic for Philly, probably. They're at 16 teams. They need 24. They're at 16 teams that are in favor of either banning or changing the rule, somehow like manipulating it. So changing what it currently is, 16 teams, they got half the league. So now they just need 8 more teams to sign on by their next meeting, whenever this gets brought up, in order to clear it. But Albert Breer had a breakdown of how the actual meeting went for SI, and he said Howie Roseman defended the play, asking the room for the injury data, showing that the concept was creating player safety issues, then asked for statistics that show it to be demonstrably more dangerous than a conventional quarterback sneak. Sounds like, all right, that's some of the stuff that we've talked about here. The injury data doesn't reflect it. Here's why the tush push is in massive trouble.
Wait, the injury data doesn't reflect that it's a problem for the players, right, from injury's perspective?
There's no data that shows that it's... In fact, they don't have an instance of somebody getting hurt on it yet.
Well, that's going to make it tough to prove an injury.
But NFL Chief Medical Officer Alan Sills returned volley, saying that while there haven't been a preponderance of injuries on the play, the league's feeling was that when an injury does eventually happen on it, based on the player's posture, it could be catastrophic.
And they're trying to say, we don't have the current data, but, you know, with the head and the neck being exposed and everyone diving at it, if and when the injury does happen, we're all going to be regretful.
That's bad. It's one thing if coaches are out here like Sean McDermott pretending like, oh, it's the injury, it's the health issue, even though I ran it six times against Kansas City. That's one thing. When the director of the wing of the NFL that essentially is in charge of health and safety says this could cause a catastrophic injury if we let it keep going, that to me says this thing has a death date and they're going
to
get rid of it.
I think it's going to be hard to find nine teams to vote against it. I think you have your teams that are staunchly in favor of it. All you need is nine to be staunchly in favor of it, of keeping it. Like, that's the problem with this. It's like, whether it should be gone or not, you've got to get, all you need is nine teams, not even a third of the league, to say we like the rule.
But what did we have? I felt like we had five teams 2 years ago that were against it.
Felt like, and now we had nothing.
You've got half the league, so it's
creeping.
Like Dallas, we know, has recently shifted on.
By the time they pass it, Hurts will be gone. A pocket passer.
Yeah,
or
he'll
not.
Be gone.
Because it's the Jalen Hurts rule.
It is the Jalen Hurts rule. It'll be, and you know, Allen used it quite a bit, not to the level of success that the Eagles do. But, you know, I would like to see the breakdown of teams. How many of these teams are NFC teams that have to deal with Philadelphia?
That want to change?
We know Green Bay and Dallas are against it.
Yep. I'd assume Washington. Would it surprise you if it's Detroit and Minnesota and the Rams?
Dan Campbell, that's a power play.
I know two of them. I know two teams who are in favor of it, and they're both AFC teams because Albert Breer talked about it. Two head coaches came to the defense of the Philadelphia Eagles in this meeting. Mike Vrabel, who we already knew about.
Andy Reid.
Jim Harbaugh. Which Harbaugh, of course, like, come on, it's good old-fashioned football. Harbaugh specifically said he thought that the proposal had overly specific language. He said he wanted to know whether he could put a sixth and seventh lineman in the game, line them up behind the guards, and push the guards downfield.
Meanwhile, Choppy, the NFL continues to eradicate the NBA on Christmas Day. Are they even trying to wipe out college football and maybe even 18 games on top of it?
We'll see. So they are adding to their Christmas Day lineup. This year, they had a doubleheader. Next year, or this coming year, they're having a triple header.
Trying to make LeBron bend at the knee by saying the NBA's, yes, the Christmas Day is the NBA's.
So two games will be on Netflix, and then the primetime night game will be on Amazon. They're also going to play the Saturday before Christmas, and that is round one of the college football playoff, just like it was this past year. So around like the 20th-ish, and that will destroy college football, just like it did this past year. They will bury those games on TNT. The Texas-Clemson game was on TNT on that Saturday. I think the Penn State-SMU game was on TNT that day as well. So they're going to bury those two games on a network that isn't on ABC. And that's what, you know, the NFL, and then listen, college football is doing this to themselves. They could easily start the season a week early, right? But they infringe on the NFL's territory. The NFL is not touching the Army-Navy game. They're not going to start a week before, you know, the Saturday games a week before. That would be a PR disaster for them.
They support the troops.
Yeah, the moment, like, no, even if you don't watch the Army-Navy game, like, they're not going to touch that game. That is a standalone game. College football won't touch it. They're not going to move the college playoff into that weekend either. They're not going to move Army-Navy to the weekend of the conference championship games. So the NFL is going to infringe on the NBA, and they're going to beat down college football on the week before.
And what other countries do we have involved here? I can't keep track of where they're taking the games.
So we know they've got Germany. They're taking it to Australia. They're taking it to, obviously, the UK like they always do. I'm trying
the
to think
access, Chop.
Yes, the access. Absolutely.
877-881-1053. Shout out to Tolo Chris with his Jeopardy knowledge correcting us here on your home of the Cowboys.
And the 18-game schedule thing, they're looking at 2027 for the 18-game schedule.
Line it up. Add it up.
You're going to love it because the more football, the better. Yeah. I don't like the infringing on Saturday games. That I don't like with college football. But, you know, it's, yeah, sure, throw 18 games out there.
Yeah, I don't care.
You know, that's fine.
Nick Harris, Cowboys insider, joins us next. Why did Jerry Jones disrespect Micah's agent? What did he take from Brian Schottenheimer buying everybody Whataburger? And who does Nick think they're taking with this number 12 pick? Nick Harris, live on the FanCam, Twitch, and YouTube from the owners' meetings in Florida, commercial-free expressway with a Tolo ticket giveaway. Stick around right after this.
Micah is one of three individuals that has my cell phone number. He asked for it about a month ago and said, I want to be able to talk to you at any time. And I said, Michael, you're one of few, but we'll talk anytime. Call me.
One of three individuals, and every reporter there at the owners' meetings in Florida kicking themselves with no follow-up of, who are the other two? And is he talking three current players? Is he talking like three all-time players? It has to be three current players, right? Dak's got the number. Mike has got the number.
Zeke.
And Zeke.
If he counts Zeke as current, I'm sure Zeke has it.
All right, joining us now live from those owners' meetings, and he was right there. Look at that picturesque background, and look at that sun with Nick Harris, Fort Worth Star Telegram, live on the FanCam, Twitch, and YouTube here on Sean and RJ 105.3 The Fan. Good morning. How's Florida treating you?
It's doing good. I had to kind of makeshift this little background here in about 7 minutes. I may or may not have woken up like 20 minutes ago, but we're rocking and rolling this morning. Can't complain.
What are the numbers? Who else has Jerry's number?
Yeah, I was trying to theorize that yesterday. Those are some good candidates. Dak, Zeke. Zeke's got to be one of them, right? Like if we're talking players, Zeke has to be one of them. And then maybe like Irvin. You know, that would probably be my other guess, but I don't know. Yeah, that is a bad part on us by not asking who the other two are.
Deion certainly has it.
I think so.
But should every player have the GM's number? How many Eagles have Howie Roseman's number?
I don't know. I don't think,
know how common that is.
Yeah, I don't know how common that is at all.
Okay. Nick, what were you thinking when Jerry Jones disrespected, or are you taking as disrespect towards Micah's agent, David Mulligetta, when Jerry said, I don't even know his name?
Yeah, I certainly took it that way. And I kind of looked around the room to see what everybody's faces was saying, too. That was certainly interesting. You know, it's become a situation over the course of the last couple of months where Jerry and Micah have had this open dialogue. I mean, it goes all the way back to the Cotton Bowl whenever Micah flew in, right? The day after the Orange Bowl, whenever Penn State was in that game. And then went to the Cotton Bowl, met with Jerry, and that conversation went into the night, past midnight at AT&T Stadium. And then that one-on-one dialogue has continued over the course of the last few weeks. It's Micah hitting up Jerry and being like, hey, I want to talk. I'm coming back from Dubai today. Let's chop it up. And they do that. And they've talked for close to 5 to 6 hours is what Jerry said in total over the course of the last few weeks. And sure, they might have the bones or the structure of an agreement in place, and they understand what both sides want at this point. But until they loop in David Mulligetta, you know, you may as well be shooting from the hip. It's just, I think they're going to have to have a conversation with Mulligetta at some point. The disrespect yesterday, I certainly took it that way. I mean, not knowing one of the most important agents in the game's name, I don't even believe that. Mm-hmm. So it was certainly an interesting tactic from Jerry's part.
How much of the negotiating does Jerry actually do with all the players versus, you know, Steven and others?
Yeah, Steven's more so in the nitty-gritty of it. You know, whenever you go back to meetings at the Combine, I mean, Jerry was only there for about 24 hours, and those meetings were, consisted of personnel and meeting with the coaches. And when it came to the the meetings with agents and representation, you know, that lies on Stephen Jones, that lies on Todd Williams, that lies on Adam Pacifica, some other front office guy. Until that check needs to be signed, that's when Jerry comes in, more so as the closer of the front office.
Nick Karras, Fort Worth Star-Telegram, joining us live from Florida here on 105.3 The Fan. Nick, give me a prediction about something that could surprise us about the Micah deal. My theory is that, yeah, Micah's probably going to get the highest paid non-quarterback deal, but he's not going to leapfrog it a lot. And that'll be his way of trying to give the Cowboys a break, maybe win over some of the fan sentiment. That's going to be my prediction, is that Micah doesn't mulligetta the market like David did with the secondary. How do you think this could end up looking?
Yeah, I think the surprise could be how long it is. I think it ends up being a 5-year deal. And that eventually would end up helping the Cowboys too, because, you know, you look at, let's say it's a $40.5 million deal per season over the course of 5 years. That's $202.5 million total. He might get the most guaranteed money at the end of the day of anyone at the position. And you know, that would certainly help down the line. But when you look at that deal in, say, 2029, he'd probably be out of the top 10 just with the way the market is going, especially at the pass rusher position. I think that's probably the surprise that I think could happen. I think Micah wants that long-term security. Obviously, the Cowboys would want that long-term security with, you know, arguably their best player. I think that's probably what the surprise ends up being as well. It's going to be a 5-year deal and north of $200 million. That's just my prediction.
Oof. Nick Karras from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram joining us here on 105.3 The Fan. Nick, Brian Schottenheimer had referenced it a little bit yesterday that he expects Micah to be involved in the offseason workouts. He expects him to attend. If a deal is not done by, let's say, training camp, for instance, do you think he is present for the offseason workouts? Does he show up for training camp? Or do you think that he's going to say, no, we're going to play this like a negotiation and hold out?
You know, that's fascinating, because as Jerry was talking yesterday, and I was trying to, you know, put every ramble word into my brain and make it make sense. He had mentioned, he was like, yeah, I still want to see some cards play out. I still want to see some things go. I was thinking in my head, I was like, well, they're not going to be playing any games between now and September. So what could those cards look like? And so I asked him in the last 5 minutes of that availability, is like, hey, do you want to see him show up for workouts before you give him this deal? You know, is that something y'all have discussed? Is it, hey, you know, DeMarcus Lawrence, Eric Kendricks, these guys are out of the building. You got to step up as a leader. And until you do that, hey, here's the structure. Here's the bones of a contract. I have it in front of you right now, but I'm not signing this until OTAs, mini camp, blah, blah happen. And then we can loop in your agent, who, what's his name again? I think when that happens, I think that's when they probably sit down and really get into the nitty gritty of it. And I'm going to give Jerry defense if that is the case, because, you know, Micah Parsons wasn't here last offseason. You can only take action for what action is. And if you're about to give a guy, let's say, 5 years over $200 million, you'd like him to show up for offseason stuff, and you would like to see him, you know, step up in that leadership department. I think if we get to training camp and we've seen Micah Parsons all throughout the offseason, I'd be surprised if a deal is not done before we get to Oxnard.
Nick, Stephen Jones talking, making headlines. Brian Schottenheimer talking yesterday. Give us your biggest takeaways from both.
Yeah, for Brian Schottenheimer, he said, basically, no jobs are safe going into 2025. He's like, obviously, Dak's our quarterback. But if you look around, he said, I want the players to be aware that no jobs are safe going into this training camp. And I think that's big, especially if you look at a couple of departments that underperformed last year. I think about the safety position. You know, guys like Malik Hooker, Donovan Wilson, you know, they re-signed Marquise Bell and Wonye Thomas. Marquise Bell on a multi-year deal. You know, they're going to make sure that there's competition at that position. You look at the corner spot. Whenever Trayvon Diggs does eventually get healthy, you know, there's going to be some bodies. There's going to be some young bodies in that room. You know, I wonder what the competition looks like at that position. Receiver, obviously, as well. You know, behind CeeDee Lamb, you know, what's going on there? And will they bring in a draft pick, a high premium draft pick, to be able to compete with those guys? That's going to be fascinating for me. And I thought that was really interesting to hear out of Schottenheimer's mouth. He's like, yeah, look, I'm a player's first guy, you know, relationships. But at the end of the day, when we get on the field, your job, it's not written in. It's written in pencil, you know, and it's easily erasable. For Stephen Jones, you know, talking about the Micah deal and just kind of how those things have gone about, you know, he was more so the PR answers rather than not knowing the agent's name. But this week I was kind of pressing both Stephen and Jerry on the task of Deron Bland, Jake Ferguson. You know, those are deals – both of those guys are heading into their contract years. You know, is there a reality where they sit down at the negotiation table with them this offseason and talking to both of them? It doesn't sound like that's going to be the case. And you know, Micah's number is probably a prerequisite before you could even start those conversations, at least theorizing to me, because, you know, if you're trying to build out what this cap situation could look like 2-3 years down the line, then Micah's number is obviously a huge facet of that. And you can't really figure out what the Deron Bland contract looks like until that number is in place. Jerry said yesterday that it's not a prerequisite, but I don't buy that.
Did Brian Schottenheimer use Whataburger to back up his chemistry point?
Yeah, certainly. A couple of weeks ago, I had heard that Brian Schottenheimer brought Whataburger breakfast for everybody in the Cowboys HQ, and they got quite a few employees. I'm saying that as a former one myself. They had they have quite a bit of departments on different floors and different levels, and he spent hours getting to know people in the building that, you know, basically have nothing to do with his job at the end of the day. But it enforces chemistry in that building. It enforces, you know, a little bit more level of authenticity. And, you know, Schottenheimer, he walks the walk. He doesn't just talk the talk. And I thought that was a really cool story to hear out of Cowboys HQ. You know, will it help him get a win in week four against the Eagles on the road and it's a close game? Probably not. But it might help on Fridays when everybody's trying to get lunch and, you know, hey, you can go ahead and skip in front of me in line, Shotty, so you can get back to game planning, you know? So I don't know how big it is in the win column, but it was certainly cool to hear.
Nick Harris from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram joining us here on Sean and RJ on 105 Through the Fan. Nick, did you feel like Schottenheimer or Steven or Jerry and just some of these discussions they gave for the weekend, did it give you any clear sense of what you think the Cowboys want to do at pick 12?
No, not really. If anything, it's kind of continued to reinforce to me that they want offensive explosion in this draft overall. I mean, Schottenheimer said, he's like, we need an, Steven Jones said, we need an explosive number two wide receiver. And, you know, talking with Shotty yesterday, he understands the need for a wide receiver as well. So I'm still leaning heavy wide receiver at number 12. If you had to ask me, that's what I'm betting on today. But let's say that there's a, you know, really talented corner that slips to like 18 and they end up trading back. You know, I could see that as a possibility as well. But if you're asking me, I'm betting on a receiver right now. I'm looking at Teteroa McMillan out of Arizona, Matthew Golden out of Texas, Emeka Egbuka out of Ohio State. I think it lands eventually on one of those three guys.
Do you think there's a chance they move up?
I don't see moving up just because they don't have a lot of draft capital to play with in that sense. You know, they already gave up their fourth round pick for Jonathan Mingo. If anything, trading back makes way more sense with the picks that they would need on day two. And they can't really use day three capital to move up in the first round. That just it would not make sense at the end of the day. So unless they're willing to, you know, use 2026 capital, which would, I don't know. I don't see that happening, though.
Nick, how is the party scene out there compared to Indianapolis at night?
It's fascinating because it's they do these owners meetings at the Breakers in Palm Beach, which, if you're not familiar with it, it's one of the oldest, most historic hotels in South Florida, and it's been here since like the Christopher Columbus days. I feel like he built it, and I feel like I have to pay for like every step that I take in there, and it's just awkward for me. Like I walked into a Cowboys person like within like my first 20 minutes of being at the hotel on Sunday. I was like, hey, man, I'm way too poor to be here right now. Like, I feel incredibly – I had a hoodie on. I was like, do they even know what hoodies are? They're going to throw me in the back. And but it was it's a really fascinating place. And they have a reception dinner on Monday night where basically the hotel just funds an open bar and free food for all the media and executives and coaches and everything. And wow. It's a fascinating – it's not as, like, wild and crazy as in Indianapolis can get. But it's definitely like there's a lot of money in this room right now.
Great stuff, man. We appreciate it. Keep up the great work, brother. And we'll have you on again. Safe travels back.
Yeah, I appreciate it, fellas. Have a good one.
Nick Harris, D&M Leasing Hotline, kind enough to hop on the fan cam, Twitch, and Zoom. We'll also fire it up at 8:20 with a Meet Church Matt Pittman Wednesday here on Sean and RJ. Let's hook you up for turning it on and leaving it on.
All right, Tolos, Rose. That's right. Right now, call number 10 at 877-881-1053 wins a pair of tickets to Ulterium. Our sister station at Alt 103.7 presents Ulterium with 311 Saturday, May 10th at the Pavilion at the Toyota Music Factory. That's call number 10 at 877-881-1053.
Would Nick Harris have known? I forgot my hourly Val Kilmer trivia. Would he have known Val?
Oh, man.
I think so. Although, I don't know. Nick has been so career focused since I feel like middle school. Like if you like what he ended up doing, he's wanted to do this job since he was like a kid. So he ended up doing a bunch of different things. He got a scholarship. Part of it, what his scholarship was to get into college was the news presentation stuff he did in high school. He won grants for that and things like that. So I kind of wonder if he's just not a big movie guy, but he knows a lot of pop culture stuff.
He knows a lot of pop culture. Text him and we'll see if he actually knows. 877-881-1053, the Val Kilmer passing away, that news overnight. It's hump day.
Hey,
it's expressway. It's commercial free. We chop it up.
All right, here we go, fellas. Let's have a little fun today.
Need a little bit of help
from the people for the Tolos. We are having our, we got a honeymoon coming up. Coming up here. And it's going to be overseas. It's going to be in the Europes.
Oh, in the Axis.
Yeah, we're the Axis. Actually, only one Axis country. We're going to Italy. And then Switzerland. They're very neutral. Very, very neutral.
See, now he's just trying to flex like other things he knows about other countries because he lost it earlier. So now he's trying to point out.
Listen, it was a momentary lapse, okay, thinking that Russia was an Axis. It just makes sense, right? But do I need, like, I know I need to, right? I know I don't. I'm not going to have access to a cell phone in Europe, but is it something I should get? Do I need to get the international calling?
This is Bobby. No, it's probably Peyton expertise because he's the last one to travel abroad.
Because in Mexico, you know, you can still use it. You know,
well, I'm probably the last one to travel abroad. But yeah, I'm flummoxed every time I go to Mexico with this. Amanda's always like, you don't know how to use your phone. Everyone else is fine. I have no idea whether to turn the roam on or off, whether okay the plan. But I need to check with the provider. I have no idea.
Yeah.
And then I get hit with a stupid roaming charge, so international call.
I called up my, I tried to find it online. I couldn't find it. So I called up and they said, so if we went to Mexico or Canada, it's, you know, you put on the roam, it's free, right? You have it, it's part of your plan.
Yep.
But if you go to Europe, it's $12 a day. For international calling.
Oh, my.
Well,
And then an extra $6 if we get it for Sarah, too, both phones. So it'll be 18. It's $12 a day just for me. If you add her, it's $18 a day.
How many days there?
10.
So I, Lori Haresh, who is from Fox Sports Australia, who was at Super Bowl, you guys met him. Lori and I would talk a lot over Zoom and different things like that. One day my phone could dial international. Like it would always block it before. Well, when it switched over to T-Mobile from Sprint, it was like, oh, okay, now I can make this. I just figured my plan had changed. So I was calling him for that month. Holy cow, the phone bill I got. What do you think it was?
For the month?
Yep.
For you calling him?
Yep.
$250.
No.
Oh, God.
God, no.
That's less than my phone bill this month.
$1,500.
What?
Oh, so I would like pay an additional $250, but that's not $1,500. Peyton, you were on the phone with the Tolo winner. RJ's asking what he has to do for traveling outside the country on this honeymoon. Not Mexico, not Canada, for his phone and the roaming and all that stuff.
Did what you get the international
calling? Yeah, you got it? You got all that set up. You can also do like the, if you don't want to do all that, set all that up, you can do the WhatsApp. I know that's what McKenzie used, because that way you can still contact, you can still text us back and forth when you're on Wi-Fi, but that way you don't have to use all
text
that.
And what do you need it for? All you do is text your neighborhood and Sarah anyway. She's going to be right there with you. Well, you're not going to be following sports.
The map, GPS, right? I'm going to need it for the GPS, because I have no idea where we're going.
I would thought you'd be old school and bring out the map.
Well, and then the kids, I want to call the kids.
Call the kids.
Right? So, and then, you know, like if there's a baseball game, I want to watch the kids' baseball games if they're because they stream those.
Okay.
By the way, the outlets are different.
I know.
Okay. You got those. You got to get the adapter and everything. Oh, it's three prongs out there.
So stupid.
What?
The outlets, the plugs, they're completely different.
your box, your iPhone box won't work there. You have to buy the adapter.
It's the dumbest thing ever. What? Who invented Europe?
Columbus, according to Nick Harris and Miami Hotels. Chopping it up here on 105.3 The Fan. I'm sure you'll get a lot of great suggestions on the fan text.
Nick Harris said, saw he died, no clue.
No idea.
Do not know who Mel Kilmer was.
People are saying get an eSIM. It's like $20. It's all you need. I have no idea what that is. I'll figure that one out, though. Went on a cruise. My daughter forgot to turn on the roaming. We were charged an extra $900 for 4 days.
Oh!
Yes, you are absolutely going to want to use international calling for Google Maps to find anything.
Okay.
So, and then they're saying WhatsApp, which obviously...
Did you think about getting like a tour guide?
So we have...
And how much did that cost? To me, that's like an international wedding planner bill.
We're doing a golf cart tour of like Florence one day, where you just drive around like Florence in a golf cart. Cooking class. We're going to do that.
Wow.
And we're going to do a day in Venice. We'll do like...
But you're not having someone like set up hotel, restaurant reservations and all that.
My sister has done a lot of it. She's like a... She her side hustle now. Apparently, she's the only attorney with a side hustle. and that's a travel agent. And so she has set up everything. We've taken care of it. We've paid for all of it.
Well,
except for, like, if we want... She hasn't set up the dinners at night. You know?
Okay.
Outside of, like, one or two. We're going to find... We'll find, you know, what the hotel says.
And when are you leaving?
2 weeks.
Okay.
2 weeks, something two like weeks. That. Yeah. So we're excited. We're getting down to the nitty gritty. You know, I still don't know what I'm wearing for the wedding. No idea. Haven't bit that out yet.
But your wedding is just like at the courthouse? And she has a white dress, though.
She has a white dress. It's just going to be in a park. We're just going to go to a park in Fort Worth. And then we're going to do just something with me and her.
Will she
and
be
our
as
families.
Strict with your dress code as your mom was for the funeral? Or will you have carte blanche?
No, we're it's she's not gonna be as she's not gonna be strict. She's gonna tell me what to wear.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just gonna let her handle the outfit. But everybody's
so
saying
you fought back against your mom for the funeral, but you're just gonna accept this without debate.
Yeah, because I'm the patriarch of the family with my mom. I'm in charge of her now.
Okay.
All right.
Well, now you're in charge of Sarah.
Well, I bought her. Yeah, I paid for the marriage license, $76. So she has to do what I say.
Hell of a deal.
Yeah, it's a hell of a deal, man. All right, chopping it up here at 105 through the fan. We did not get to this. I noticed this. This is something that happened to me about a week ago. But I wanted you here for this. What is the rule on playing a video in a stall in a public restroom?
Ooh.
I walk into the bathroom. This is Bobby and I. We were at the Top Golf for the Tarleton State thing.
Crushed it.
Bobby crushed it.
Did anyone film him playing?
I'm
stunned Choppy didn't post it. He filmed lots of it and didn't post any of it.
It wasn't like, it was so bad.
He's embarrassed at how good I was.
It must not have been that embarrassing if you didn't post it.
Well, my camera's also cracked.
I shot a 60.
Blurry.
60. Like I was below 80. I shot 60 at Top Golf. But.
So I go in the restroom, and I went to go, you know, number one. And as I'm, you know, standing there, I hear, you know, noises playing in the stall. The guy obviously is just sitting down there watching some video on TikTok about, you know,
yeah,
who knows? I don't even know what it was about. But like, what's the rule on that? You're in a public restroom.
You know, I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it. Do you ever hear someone on a phone call? You ever hear someone talking?
I've heard that here in the building.
Yeah.
When you walk into other floors or on the phone.
And is it fine if you are talking on the phone? What's more acceptable? Peeing at the urinal and talking or in the stall? Does it matter?
I think the urinal is more acceptable because it's more in and out.
Feels a little more acceptable.
It looks
yeah.
weirder, though, because you can't even go and go number one. Like, you got one hand down and one hand up, unless you have the earbuds. Mm-hmm. That looks weirder than in the stall.
Well, that's just because you can't see them in the stall.
Yeah. Sure, exactly.
It looks bizarre to have your pants down and on the phone. But the thing is, I think it's like Chops is, you're going to be in there and out of there. So I could see somebody just going like, I'm not going to hang up the call and call back in a minute. Let me just go and then I'll walk out. Whereas the other one, if you're going to go to the stall, just say, I'll call you back. Like it's that simple. Playing the video.
Because this is not like sitting in a plane seat where you can't go anywhere and it's for a long time.
Right.
You're going to be in the bathroom for a couple minutes.
Five, 10 minutes, yeah.
I'm fine with it. What do you think, Pepe?
I'm not judging if someone wants to do that, but it's free game in public. If I want to comment on the video or add it on the phone call, I can comment on anything. If I don't like it or if I like it, go, oh, what's that video call? You know, I can talk to you.
Yeah, open the door. Yeah, just open the door right there. Just see what's just peek your head over.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's, if you're playing a video, I don't know why you're just, it seems kind of, I don't know what the word is. Not
well,
tacky.
Don't you do it at home? Don't you do it at home?
No. Oh, yeah. The phone? Absolutely.
I'll look at the phone. I won't play videos while I'm in there. And what? If I do, like, no, I'm not.
What's
the
matter? What's the matter if you're scrolling Twitter versus playing a video in your own bathroom?
I mean, it doesn't matter. I just don't do it.
Okay.
Like, but I'm saying in public, no, you don't. It's the
couth.
I think it's almost a little tacky. Bad like, form. What do you do? If you need to hear something for whatever reason, then, like, I would just the very lowest volume setting, a one, and then put it up to your ear to hear whatever it is, and then that's it. Huh. Otherwise, just wait till you're out of there.
The bathroom. That's where you watch all the videos you don't want your girl to see you watching.
Like,
that's what you do in the bathroom.
Like what?
I mean, I'm just saying. You know,
that's how you throw headphones on.
That's what I've been told. Chopping it up here on 105.3 The Fan. Authorities have seized.
Just when I think I could get caught doing something, Amanda's like, your Bluetooth was on. I heard it. It's always a cooking video.
Yeah.
So she's like, whoa, what type of dough are you making? So even when I could get busted, I'm watching, you know, meat church videos.
The criminals are always a step ahead. They are always a step ahead. We thought they were smuggling cocaine over the border. Nope. They are now using submarines.
Dang.
The authorities have intercepted a narco sub carrying more than 7 tons of cocaine in the Atlantic Ocean.
How much money is that?
Oh, God.
I'll calculate it.
Ask the
Fantex
will know. Guy, absolutely.
$242 million estimated value. 7 tons of cocaine.
7 tons of $242 million. And
$500 billion Colombian pesos.
Wow. So, like, that's like 6,000 kilos or whatever of cocaine. It's just insane.
So it's all just loaded in the submarine?
It's just in the submarine.
Yeah.
And it was crossing the Atlantic. This one would happen to be heading for Portugal. It went from...
What, if submarine check stops?
I guess so.
Are we underwater and, like, you got to pull over to the side like we talked about yesterday?
Maybe that's how all the sharks are getting coked up. You remember we talked about all the cocaine sharks that are eating it? Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess like they discovered, you know, some country's Navy discovered a submarine that was being radared or sonared, and they didn't have any idea it was supposed to be there, and the authorities seized this narco sub filled with 7 tons of cocaine. Absolutely insane. How many years of your life would you have to add, or how much disease-free would you have to add to drink your own urine?
Be a little more specific. Like, how many years am I adding?
Like,
and how disease-free can I be?
So
you're telling me I'm never going to get cancer? I'll consider it.
Yeah, so this guy, Troy Casey, has an unorthodox wellness program. Every morning he wakes up and he drinks his own urine. He says it has stem cells, amino acids, and antibodies. He had testicular cancer.
It's kind of like Jessica Simpson with the snake sperm.
Well, we'll get to that one in a second here.
Oh, sorry.
He claims that he had testicular cancer, and that cancer has gone away because he drank his own urine.
Now, does not include any doctor visits? Is he a holistic... Is he a Tia Fallo?
It could be.
Is he not going? He didn't receive any other type of treatment. I'm just supposed to believe it was the urine.
That's what he says. That's what he says.
To me, sounds like the kidney, the meat, raw food dude.
Liver King.
Liver King.
Little hoax here.
So he also says what he does is he opts to drink. It's called the middle pee. So it's not the beginning. It's not the end. It's the middle.
Man,
of the
you
street.
Really have to know your own,
yeah,
your own clutch.
Right, you really do. Yeah. To be able to, stop it.
First
again.
Gear is the end.
I'll take a little sip.
Fifth. You got to know when you're in second or third gear for the middle.
Man, I tell you this: the most emasculated I ever am in a restroom is by a child. Because their streams are so
long,
powerful, and here's me like an old man, just a slow drip. I go to the bathroom at a youth baseball game, and you hear these kids just walk in, and it's like their thumb is over a hose.
Have you?
And I'm sitting here just trickling out like an old man.
Have you tried Kegels?
I have not tried Kegels.
You should. Maybe that'll help. When did your stream start to thin out?
I don't know, within the last 10 years, 8 years, you know, late 30s, early 40s.
I feel like it's starting to hit me in mid-30s.
Yeah, it happens, man. And then, you know, my kids, I can hear them two rooms away. You know, just the stream they're hit. They don't hit the toilet anymore. I mean, they've completely avoided.
No more iPad for Ali in the bathroom. I've instituted a rule because his focus goes away, and it's like Katrina in there. He's dead quiet. He's not saying anything, and then he walks out like, "Daddy, there's a problem." And I'm like, "No more, no more iPad." That speaks to watching videos in there. Why you shouldn't do it?
There you go.
Can't concentrate with the stream.
Definitely can't. Would you switch this seat for a couple?
So to answer that question, you're guaranteeing me no cancer for the rest of my life. I would try to drink some. I don't know if I'd be able to handle it. I mean, I can barely do apple cider vinegar.
I think they've said you've got to filter it somehow.
Okay.
So because it's sterile, you got to filter it. So like filter it. They say you could do that on the if you're stranded in the ocean, but you got to
like stroke. Guarantee me no stroke, no cancer. What's another third that you'd be paranoid about,
heart
Bobby?
Attack.
ALS.
Heart attack.
ALS.
Yeah. That's what I default to.
That's absolutely. All right. You mentioned Jessica Simpson. So we'll do the Jessica Simpson here. She has a new idea, and this is from her vocal coach, on how to keep her voice healthy.
Does she still sing?
No, I mean, not.
When's the last time she came? Her or Val Kilmer? Who had the last noteworthy production?
I don't know. That's a good question. I haven't heard anything from her in a while.
She does now.
Well, she does now. Because of this... Jeez, Peyton, I just got that one. Because of the new thing that she is medicine she's taking.
They're like, what are you drinking? Because, you know, it's like, it's this Chinese herb thing. And I'm like, I don't know. And my vocal coach told me to drink it. And they Googled the ingredients and snake sperm.
No, it's so, like tea?
It's like a honey. So if you want a good vocal, you got to drink snake sperm.
Honey.
I have a question.
Love to hear it.
How do you get it?
Oh.
I understand how you get it from a horse.
Ask Jerry.
When a man and a woman love each other, child. Yeah.
Circumcising mosquitoes.
Yeah, I understand how you get it from a horse, okay? I've seen those videos. I don't know how you would get it from a snake.
Whoa, was it Gaga or someone else doing...
blood.
Facial treatment?
Yeah, like the blood. They're putting snake blood on their face or something like that. And I've heard of people saying, like, hey, if you drink snake blood because it's not oxygenated or it is oxygenated, that it's supposed to have some kind of effect, you know, effects on you, like positive effects. I have never heard of this, and I don't know how you get it. I'm kind of confused about that one.
I mean, I assume it you extract it the same way you would extract it from anyone else.
It's lubricated.
Yep, there you go, right there.
We could use this for radio. Always looking for radio tricks.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, that'd be a good bet. They always say next year for the tournament. You have to drink it.
Oh.
Joseph Hicks, Tolo Joe, will get one of the snakes out of my backyard.
Tea and honey, baby.
Yeah.
Tea and honey. All right, last one here.
Would you drink that over the urine?
No. I would. I'm letting whatever ills come my way at that point.
I would absolutely do that over the urine. It's happened again on an airplane. When's it going to stop? This couple comes up. They got two middle seats. They ask a guy to move so they can sit together.
Mm.
And he said no, and it creates this big problem on the airplane. And when are people going to learn? You just book your seat, man. Just book the seat. If it's a kid and a mom or whatever, I'd be like, I might move.
But this guy said normally he moves, but this time he's like, you know what? I'm going to take a stand.
I'll take a stand.
And they sat right behind him and were like, almost ready to cry.
Yeah.
And he felt a little bit of guilt, and then he put in the earbuds, and he said he took a guilt-free nap.
Guilt-free nap.
Yeah.
If it's a kid, like a four-year-old,
then
I'm like, all right, go ahead, switch. Because you can't sit next to your wife.
And you cannot have me switch to a middle. Don't ask me unless you know I can sit in the aisle or the window. You can't have me switch to the middle.
This is like...
unless I'm like Sandler size.
This is like when Chop separated me from Kristen. On the way to New Orleans.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I apologize for the first class seat.
And I was just devastated.
I've never even been asked. I'm surprised how often this apparently happens. I've never been asked.
It happens apparently a lot.
Have you been asked ever?
Nope.
I got asked to move once, and it was like aisle for aisle, or I can't remember. It was a fine seat. I was like, whatever, yeah, sure, I don't care.
Aisle for aisle.
I probably would switch.
This HOV portion of the expressway is driven by Mercedes-Benz of Plano, where we chop it up every hump day during the commercial-free expressway. All right, it's time for your review of the morning show. Bobby has put out the questions. Everything we need to fix on Sean and RJ from you. Next on 105.3 The Fan.